Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams, whew,
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone. It's caught. Touchdown. Oh my goodness.
The mark of fantasy excellence.
It's caught for a touchdown.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
All right, welcome back for hour number three of the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to all of you. Joe Galina along with George Kurtz and Sean Engel producing our show, The Fantasy Prince. Going over the AL West, finishing it up. We were talking the Mariners. Fantasy baseball draft galore weekend. NFBC drafts happening as we speak. As well, Tout War still going on here in New York City, so lots of drafts over the next week. Got lots of I have one on Tuesday. George, you have any drafts coming this week? I have one also next Sunday. Another couple that I don't know what days they are, but I have to double check. But it's a primetime draft season, George.
Yeah, I have a and Chris Mitchell. I'm in his home league. Which I think Mike Blewett and I, we shared a team last year. I think we won that league.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, but I'm pretty sure we won that league.
Nice.
I'm also in an industry league for RotoWire. That's an 18-team league, 40-man rosters. It's crazy.
Not challenging.
Obviously. To put it nicely, it's 40-man rosters. You can get up to 10 minor leaguers, and you draft, you auction your starters. The first 23 players, but you're allowed to keep up to 15. So for summers, we'll only be auctioning 8 players. I think I'll have to auction 11. I think I'm keeping 12. And then you do a reserve round, so you keep 8 reserves. So those guys, and your minor league is that you actually do a snake draft for. So it's a long night, to put it nicely, for that draft, and that's on Thursday.
Hmm. Yeah, Tuesday I have the GST, Greenwich Street Tavern League draft. This is my third year there. Have won it 2 years in a row, but with partners. This will be my first year doing it alone. So a lot of pressure on me, George. The first year I teamed up with Mike Florio and Cha-Cha. Last year teamed up with just Cha-Cha, and this year it's just me. So it's a competitive.
You got rid of Cha-Cha? Fired him?
No. Cha-Cha knows his stuff, man. It's just that it moved from we used to do this draft in person, and it's an online draft, so he kind of felt that, you know, it's tough to partner up when you're doing an online draft unless you're in the same location drafting together. But that's the way he felt. But, you know, like I said, you know, a lot of pressure coming off of two straight wins in this league, so we'll see how I do. Competitive league, 15-teamer. Chris Vaccaro's in it, obviously, because he owns the Greenwich Street Tavern. Frankie Stanfill in the BFFs. Greg Sussman in it, too. Adam Ronis, fantastic player. Really
Sharks.
Fought us right to the end. Got to just get a good night's sleep the night before. So, very challenging. So, finishing up with the Mariners, Hunter Strickland, their closer, is he tenuous? Is he a guy that maybe you said it looks like the Mariners are probably make a lot of, not a lot, but going to try to move some players, probably to get some prospects back, rebuild that team. Is he a kind of guy that if he has a good start to the season, he's on his way out?
It wouldn't shock me. I don't think it would be a start of the season. I think more of a trade deadline guy. You know, July 31st for anyone close for his new team. So there'll be sort of that sort of deal. And there are a lot of players like that on bad teams that, you know, they'll be moved out. He is the closer to start the season. I guess Swarzak could give him a run for his money, but I don't see that happening here. When I say that, once again, he's that tier three closer, a dartboard throw you take. You know, you get your smattering of saves, but he could lose the job. He could get traded. You know, he's another one of those guys come July 5th. You know, I say half the closers won't have their job come July 1st. He'll be one of those half.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what do you think of the 71.5 over-under for the Mariners?
Well, I think they're a bad team. I think they can hit a little bit. Yeah, I do think they can hit a little bit. Pitching staff is below average, to put it nicely. You know, a lot of softball throws up there. No aces. I'm not sure there's a major league
baseball.
Who's
their best pitcher? Gonzalez? Marco Gonzalez?
Okay.
We don't know what Kikuchi could do.
We don't know what Kikuchi can do, so that's really what we're waiting for. We have three left-handers in the rotation here. We know Mike Leake and Hernandez certainly aren't the best there. LeBlanc, I guess, could be. There's nobody here. But we don't know what Kikuchi is. Everybody else is. Is there anybody here that's better than NSP3 in baseball? I mean, anybody? And that might be being nice. That could be being generous as well. Maybe SP4s. That's a bad team. They're rebuilding. It's going to be a long season here. They do have some top prospects. I mean, Kalanick, who they got from the Mets, is a good prospect here. He might pay off in time. Sheffield, they got from the Yankees. Mm-hmm. Once again, good prospect. Might pay off in time. But it's going to be a few years.
Right.
Bottom line, it's going to be a few years for the Mariners. Give me the under.
Right. Let's move on to the Angels. And when I look at the Angels roster, I look at their MLB depth chart, I kind of feel bad for Mike Trout because, you know, they were 80-82 last season. 82.5 is their win-loss expectation. They're over under and for wins. I'm a little surprised the 82.5 just looking at this team. I don't know about you. I mean, they're not as bad as the Mariners, but I kind of feel bad for Mike Trout with the supporting cast that he has surrounding him.
I think there's very little reason that Mike Trout will stay with the Angels. You know, and it's because of what you're talking about. I mean, they've done a poor job. A poor job of building around him. And you have the best player in the game. And what's he played, three playoff games? I think that's what it is. I think he's been involved in three playoff games. That's just sad. I mean, it's just sad. So, you know, he's 27. I think he'll be 29 his free agent year. I know Bryce Harper's already trying to recruit him to go to Philadelphia. And Bryce, you know, had his hand slapped. You know, don't do that. But if I'm Mike Trout, unless you love it in L.A., listen, I'm sure he does love it in L.A., but why do you want to play there? I mean, they've shown time and time again they can't build a team. They just can't, even around the best player in the game. It's the pitching staff. We know they can hit. Yes, the Pujols contract, which is going goes on forever, was a bad one. It was a bad deal, which we pretty much knew at the time. That I'm of the belief that he's probably not the age he says he is. I think he's older, and he's wearing down.
Refresh my memory. That contract was given to him by the Cardinals, or no, he was signed as a free agent, right?
But he was signed as a free agent, right?
Yeah.
He was signed as a free agent, and bad. Bad deals. I was the owner, Audie Moreno. He got the Josh Hamilton deal too, which was bad. That didn't work out. And it's a 10-year deal. Still has what 3 years left, I think. So good luck with that. Let me know how that works out for you. It's not working out well, and so they have issues there. The pitching staff is once again like all these other staffs. I mean, Heaney, Cahill, Skaggs, Matt Harvey, Barria, Payne. I mean, Tropiano. I mean, there's nobody here. There's just nobody here. And if you don't have a good staff, you're not going to win. You're just not going to win consistently. And even Cody Allen, your closer, I doubt he'll be the closer all season long. He wasn't very good last year. Matt Harvey is nowhere near a dark night. He's not that pitcher anymore. He's been shut down with an elbow injury. We don't know when he's coming back. There's nothing here. They'll hit. They'll hit somewhat. Otani will be back in May, but he won't pitch this season, but he'll be back in May. Maybe
DH.
Yes, he's certainly not going to play the outfield. No, not with the coming with Tommy John surgery. Calhoun has got a million different stances now. Maybe he comes back and hits a little better this season. Angelton Simmons is one of the better shortstops in the game, all around shortstops. Not the greatest hitter, but not the worst hitter either. Very good defender. Kozak, maybe they get something out of him. Justin Bauer and Pujols at first base. LaCroix at catcher. No, this is a bad team. This is just a bad team. I'll take the under here as well.
Yeah. So Angelton Simmons, to me, a nice late option at middle infield. Double-digit home run, stolen bases, and the lower double-digit home runs, lower-digit stolen bases, gives you a decent average. You probably, and I should check his ADP, we talked about Marcus Semien from the A's and Angelton Simmons. Who do you think that you'd want more, as a late option, let's say at middle infielder or just someone to give you some bench depth?
Well, they both are in the same tier. I think it really depends. Do I want more power or more speed? What am I going for? Not that either one's going to give you a plethora of either one. You're not going to get, oh my God, if I take this guy, my stolen base is solved, and this guy, okay, home runs. I mean, Simmons is going to hit you about double digits in each, right? 10-10. Maybe a little bit more power there. Maybe a little bit more. Semien has more power. So I know you brought up the stat, which is so true. Outside of that 1 year where he had 27, he's not that guy. But I think Semien can hit me 15 to 20. That wouldn't shock me where he gets up there. Maybe he's a little optimistic there. But I think Semien has more power, a little bit more pop. I think Semien also has a little bit more speed, but the average could hurt. So that's what I'm looking here to hear. I'd rather have Semien. Bottom line is, I'd rather that. I'm not paying for the gold glove that Simmons is.
Right. And by the way, they're based on their ADP, very close. I think one's 222, one's 220. So you could both have, they both can be had somewhere around the 18th round of a 12-team league. One other guy I'll talk about here on this team is Justin Upton. He's been dealing with some knee tendonitis. Getting some at-bats in minor league games the past couple of days. Pretty much a model of consistency in terms of three straight seasons of 30 or more home runs. Used to run a little bit more. Are you concerned with this knee issue that, he had been giving you like upwards of, almost 10 stolen bases a year, but consistency with the power. Are you concerned at all that knee is going to affect him in this season?
Well, he's in BB games, you mentioned that, and the reason why is, once again, in case they do have to DL him, they can backstint it, but they do expect him, they're cautiously optimistic, to be ready for opening day. So draft-wise, I'm not changing where I would normally draft him. You're probably going to get 30 home runs, okay? You're going to get your he's never been a huge RBI guy, which is weird. Only had two seasons of more than 100 RBIs. That's just strange for Justin Upton, a guy who hits about 30 home runs every year. Stolen bases, you're probably looking at the 6-8 range. I don't think they will have him run as much because, once again, it's not worth it. He doesn't steal all that many bases anyway. Why take a chance with the knee? So I think he'll be another guy that will only steal when it's necessary, or only try to steal when it's necessary. In other words, you know, two outs in an inning, get to second base. You know, so a single could score you, ninth inning, you'll move along so you get in scoring position, that sort of thing here. So, no, I don't think he'll be a big stolen base guy. If I'm drafting Justin Upton, it won't be for stolen bases. It'll be for the power, you know, because I think his average also will be a minus, a slight minus. Not a huge minus, but I don't think he's going to bat 275. I think he's going to bat 255, you know, 250 around that range. That wouldn't shock me at all. So it's the power here. He's an outfielder three for me. You know, I don't want to draft him too early. He's got name value here, so I think he'll go earlier than probably I'll draft him anyway. But, you know, you combine the injury, combine that with the fact that he's not really great in any category other than the home runs, I won't feel any I won't be crying. Joe Galina grabs Justin Upton, I'm like, damn, Joe. Don't care.
Yeah,
we'll the next guy.
Sniped. Yeah. You won't be saying sniped.
How many times when you get sniped in the draft before you get angry? I think about it. When am I allowed to get angry at getting sniped? We're all going to get sniped once or twice.
I get angry every time, to tell you the truth. I get angry every time. But after a while, you just expect it, too. It's just something that happens. You know?
I mean, It is. Sean's that Scott Angle and I, when I played in the league with Scott, did not like drafting anywhere near him because he and I had we tend to think on the same wavelength here. You know, so that bothered me. It just bothered me with Scott that you know he would take my guys and it was you know, you're sitting there, I've broken pencils, you know, you write the name.
Does it also make
Scott?
You feel that you? Does it also make you feel that hey, at least you know I'm thinking on the right track, you know that you know at least I was thinking you know with a about using a good strategy.
Oh, you're taking the optimistic viewpoint, huh?
Yeah.
You're taking the optimistic viewpoint. Oh, Scott's want the same guy. Yeah. No, I don't feel better about that because he still has the player and I don't. You know, so I'm not feeling better about it, but I get where you're going with that. Yeah, oh, you know, Scott wants the same guy. I should feel nice. Sure. No.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Scott stole my
He's
player.
He's the king.
Yeah, he is the king. I get where you're going, but there are certain guys who I just knew they were thinking the same as I was. You know, so I didn't want to draft anywhere near them. Yeah, which is kind of silly. Once again, they're drafting four spots ahead of you. Yeah, you don't feel bad because they didn't snipe you, but they still took your player. either way, you're not getting the player. But we all get sniped. You know, I know. Yeah. I also feel good in a draft. You know, you're in a draft, especially if you're in an industry league, and somebody complains that you grab a player. You know, and you're like, oh, good. Screwed him over. Got the player he wanted. Mm-hmm. And must be he's a good player, too, if he wanted him also. I must have done the right thing. You know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But, I guess I think more the negative, the pessimistic. How many times before I can start getting angry about being sniped?
Yeah, to me, sniping is just basically the cost of doing business in fantasy drafts, right? It's going to happen. And it's going to happen probably more than once in every draft that you take part of. At least, you know, that's been my experience. But so finishing up with the Angels, nothing much to see in this rotation for me. I know some people like Tyler Skaggs and you know Heaney, but Heaney's on. I think he's hurt right now and whatnot. But 82.5, is that over under? For me, it's an under. It sounded like you kind of agree as well, but I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah. No, I got to go under here. I don't think I have a choice. Like I said, Joe, I just look at the pitching staffs. You know, you look at the staffs; it's not very good. All around, it's not very good. They got some decent middle relievers. But other than that, I don't trust Cody Allen to close. I don't trust the starters to start. And, we love Mike Trout. We all love Mike Trout. God forbid I should get another one pick in any of these leagues to get Mike Trout. But we all love Mike Trout. But there's just not enough around him. There's just not enough around him. Boy, this is not the Red Sox offense or the Yankees offense where they can outslug people and win 9-8 games. You know, not consistently anyway. So no, I'm going the under here. Even though I think it's a bad division, Seattle's gonna be a bad team. I don't think Oakland's all that great either. Texas, you know, we'll talk about them next, and they're a so-so team as well. So that'll help out. You know, that as far as that, they're not as bad as some of these other teams. I think they are pretty much around a 77 win team. You know, maybe they can get the 500 if things break right. But I just don't like what I see here.
Yep. And in a way, I mean, Trout has been having, I guess, Upton batting behind him and whatnot. But just with the supporting cast, even points to how good he really is. I mean, we know he's great, but just to be able to consistently put up these big numbers without much, you know, help around him, in the lineup. But anyway, when we come back, we'll talk Texas Rangers, finish up the AL West. You're listening to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning, Joe Galina, George Kurtz, Sean Engel producing our show. We are breaking down the AL West, taking a look at some of the over-under win total numbers as set by Las Vegas, VegasInsider.com. Also, taking a look at each team's fantasy-relevant players. Going to step aside for a second in terms of this AL West breakdown. Just saw that Austin Hayes, who's been having a real good spring for the Orioles, was optioned to AAA. Kind of had the feeling that maybe he had a shot at winning this right fielder's job for the Orioles. But I guess they felt that they needed a little bit more seasoning. Hadn't played AAA ball yet, but it's a little surprising to me. I mean, this guy already spent some time in the major leagues. I guess that his clock probably started since he was a September call-up, not last year, I think maybe the year before. So a little surprising. So Joey Rickard is going to be the Orioles' right fielder. So if you were thinking about maybe drafting, you maybe had a draft coming up and were thinking maybe Austin Hayes has a good shot of winning that right fielder's starting job with the Orioles, well, it's not going to happen right now.
He had no chance. Only been in 20 games, 63 at-bats, still qualifies as a rookie. They're delaying his service time. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's the only question now is when do they call him up? Yeah, it's really all it is. Mm-hmm. The Orioles are a team. I don't blame them for doing it. You're a bad team. You should be. You should be making sure you have the player and under the rules. I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm saying under the rules, they're doing the right thing. You know, so we're other teams. The Chicago White Sox is keeping Jimenez down. Yes, it's by doing the right thing for the team. Guerrero for the Blue Jays. I don't know how true this oblique injury is to me. It seems like it's a cover so they can keep him without hearing it from the fans. But it's the right thing to do. According to the rules. I probably won't agree with what the Mets are doing with Alonso because they're a team that could contend. And if you think Alonso's your best first baseman, you should be starting him. You know, because that game or two, he could determine that might be what you missed the wild card by at the end of the year. Maybe it's going to be what you missed the division title, whatever it might be. So if you truly believe Alonso's your best chance or is the best player at first base, then he should play. For good teams, I think the best player should play. Bad teams, yeah, go for the extra year. I get it. I might feel different with the Mets and Alonso if he was a superstar. You know, I think he's only hit 40 home runs, but he's not a superstar. You know, he's not that kind of player. He's not Guerrero. We're not what Tatis is going to be with the Padres, that kind of a player there. It's a tough choice. And this is another thing I hope is fixed in the CBA. You know, I really hope it's fixed in the CBA. And I was talking about this. I went to a party last night. You know, I'm talking with a couple of my buddies. And they're knowledgeable sports fans. And I wonder if this could be a compromise, Joe. You know, part of the problem is the Super 2 arbitration dates. And we know the owners hate arbitration. All right, and the players want free agency. So right now, free agency is up to 6 years. I wonder if they'll negotiate it down to five and no more arbitration. Yeah, you with the team for 5 years. Yeah, maybe you raise the minimum salary as well. You know, mm-hmm. that could be another compromise towards the players. So they'll lose their 2 years of arbitration. Super 2s would get possibly 3. They'll get free agency a year earlier. And the minimum salary goes up here. You know, I've heard nothing about this, mind you. This is just something I'm spitballing with the guys. Spitballing with the guys, see if that could work out here. But I think that could be a compromise. And once again, would stop these teams from keeping their best players down. You know, I've also heard something I did hear within the industry is that it'll be where you get a player from when you draft them for 7 years. That's it. You know, there'll be no more options. You get a player for 7 years, and then it goes away, or maybe 8 years, whatever number that's going to be. Yeah, you know, I guess depending on what age you draft them at could make a determination of this as well. You know, and that's it. You know, there'll be no more options. He's there. He's gone, and you move on from there. So I'm curious to see how the Players Association attacks this. I'm also curious to see, do they care? You know, how much do they care about this? You know, is this a big problem for them? Because the membership is not worried about this. The membership is already there. So how much are they going to fight for the younger players, the younger players coming up? You know, all this is intriguing to me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you bring up some very good points. All right, so let's move on. Talk about the Texas Rangers. 67-95 was their record in 2018. The Vegas Insider lists their over under as 71.5, so they think they'll be a little bit better. When you look at their roster, at least offensively, lots of interesting players here. I mean, if this offense clicks and performs the way it's capable of, I mean, this team, I think they should score a lot of runs. They scored 14th most runs last season.
What do you want, the Nando bandwagon here? He thinks his team is better than advertised as well. Mike Mana, Edison Volquez, Lance Lynn, Drew Smyly, Shelby Miller. Yeah, I'm not banking on the Rangers this year. They can hit. I think
I was talking about their. Yeah, I was talking about their offense.
They're going to score a lot of runs. They can't pitch.
Yeah.
That's just the way it's going to be. Guzman, mm-hmm. I think you and I talked about him yesterday. Interesting play with some upside here. Beats the hell out of the Yankees.
Yeah.
A lot of home runs against them last year. Rougned Odor was the tale of two halves last year. Bad first half, good second half. Estrubo Cabrera, once again, your utility man. Solid player. Probably miscast as a third baseman, mind you. Andrews has to rebound. He was bad last year. Had the injuries. He'll get better. Mm-hmm. Chu's professional hitter. Gallo, we know what he's going to do. Daniel DeShields, I think, once again, the jury's still out on him. And Mazzara still has upside that he really hasn't quite reached yet. That we believe he should be better. Mm-hmm. So they can hit. And in that ballpark, we know, especially when it gets hot, there's going to be a lot of runs scored in Texas. The problem is I think it's going to be a lot more scored for the visitors than there will be the home team.
Yeah. We talked about guys like Malik Smith and whatnot. And even yesterday we were talking to Greg Allen. If you're looking for that one guy, you know, you look at your team, you're like, wow, I really need like a boost in stolen bases. Delino DeShields. With an ADP of 406, man, I mean, comes with a lot of risk. Talk about a one-trick pony, right? But he could steal some bases for you. The question is, you know, him hurting you in other categories, and again, how many at bats he gets? No.
Well, you can get him for free, right? So you're not paying anything for him.
Yeah,
I mean, he bet a 216 last year and. He was banged up as well, had injuries. I know I drafted him in a couple leagues last year because I wanted those bags. We know he can steal bases, but the average obviously is a killer right now. I don't think he'll bat at 216 again, but how much better is he going to get?
Maybe 217. Yeah.
I think 217 is possible. You know, I mean, really, 245, 250? So either way, it's a minus. And well, he's just one of those guys. If I'm going to – the fact that you can get him, like I said, you can get him for free. What I mean by free is you can get him for around 28. You know, you saw where his ADP is. You can, and he's another guy. Oh, Joe Galina grabbed him. Okay, good luck, Joe. Don't care. You know, so he's not someone you're going to cry about. But you can get him late, or you can get him in your waiver wire afterwards, and you see what happens. Maybe you don't plug him in right away. You know, he's a guy you just watch, see if he's hitting. You know, okay, get off to a good start. Then you can plug him in for the bags. If he can stay healthy, play the entire season, and not kill the Rangers with his average, he can steal 40 bags. That wouldn't shock me at all, 50 bags. And I think for him to do that, he would need to get, you know, if he can get his OBP up to 350 to lead off there, I think that would do it. And if he can bat once. He doesn't need to bat 300. He can bat 240, 250. For these leadoff hitters, it's more important the OBP than is the average. If he's walking enough, the Angels will have him in there. You know, fantasy owners, obviously, we care. In most leagues, we care more about the average. I really wish more leagues would go to OBP as well. I think that's fair. You want to count walks. Walks are good. I wish more leagues would go to that in that direction. I think it's silly that we don't.
Do you prefer playing in leagues where you can use OBP as a category as opposed to batting average?
Yes. That's what I was saying. Not even close. I think OBP. Because average means you're not counting walks. And average isn't important nowadays. Getting on base is important. Any way possible getting on base. Please, I'm all about OBP. I like quality starts over wins as well. You know, wins are fickle. Your bullpen blows your win. You just lost a point, even though, hey, you did nothing wrong. But a quality start. Granted, I don't think six innings and three runs is a quality start. That's idiotic in my mind. In mine, it should be seven, three innings or six and two. You know, six innings, three runs, that's 4.5 ERA. You're not going to be around long with a 4.5 ERA. So I think it should be, once you get seven innings, three runs, which I think is 3.86 ERA, or six innings, two runs is really what I like better as far as a quality start. But that's not what we use here. Still, I think the quality start stat is a better one than wins.
How about ISO over home runs?
No, I'm not going to go crazy. Home runs is fine. I do listen. I like some others. I do like I would like saves and holds to be a category. This way we get a bigger player pool.
Combined?
I don't mind combined. Well, if you want to keep it 5-on-5, yeah, it has to be combined. So I don't mind. I like that. I think I like net steals better than just steals. Net steals is obviously stolen bases minus caught stealing. You know, why we get let's penalize a guy who gets caught stealing. You know, so you lose. That's why I like net steals. You know, I think that once again, I think it's I think the game needs to evolve. Our game, and in a lot of leagues we have evolved, but let's keep evolving. We don't need the same stats. Most people in the industry know averages isn't all that important. We know OBP is a better stat. You know, I like to get slugging percentage in there as well, but, you know, then you're talking going to 6x6, 7x7. You know, you could make an argument for some of these stats. And one thing I think we do need to be careful of is if you would add slugging, that's really rewarding the same players that hit home runs, right? That's pretty much what the slugging does. So you got to be careful about adding that in fantasy. I mean, I've played in 10x10 leagues, which is just ridiculous, by the way. It just blows your mind all these stats they come up with. But, I do think we probably need eventually to go more to 6x6. I can think of an extra category too that should be in there that don't necessarily reward the same players here. But as far as with the 5x5, I think it'd be OBP over Ws and quality starts over wins and net steals.
You might not remember all 10, but you remember a couple of the extra categories that were included in those 10x10 leagues?
Oh, this is my uncle's league that he had me go in. I got the number one overall pick. I got Mike Trout that year. Yay. Finished second. Slugging was one.
Look at that.
OBP was one. Yeah, there was no money for second. It was winner take all. It sucked. Wow. I'm happy.
So it was OBP in addition to average?
Yes. Yes.
Or, wow. Okay.
Yeah, literally, it's 10x10. I'm trying to think of the other pitching categories now that were out there. And, God, none of them really come to mind. K-9, of course. K-9 was there, which, once again, you're rewarding Ks again. Holds was a category to get some top relievers in there. The others I'm not going to remember. Even if you said them, I don't remember.
Right.
It was a home league town. You know, he wanted to be.
Was it a one-shot league, or did it continue?
It may have continued. I did not come back. The 10x10 was like, wow.
Right.
You know, it was just too much for me. I didn't need to go on here and do it again. Like I said, it was an interesting league. When I say I finished second, I don't remember paying all that much attention to it. I think I just let the team ride. And I might have needed a league where I let somebody else run it, which I've done from time to time with leagues. It was fun. Don't mind playing, but 10x10 is out there. 10x10 is certainly out there. So even 6x6, 7x7s are out there with some of the categories they'll come up with. Yeah, so 10x10 I thought was crazy. I think I definitely thought it was crazy.
All right. So continuing with the Rangers. Ronyard Odor, second baseman, power, speed guy, but, you know, look, 12 stolen bases on 24 attempts is pretty bad. So how long are the Rangers going to let this guy run if he gets caught so much? You know, he was dealing with a hamstring issue, but I guess I don't know if you could use that as an excuse. His plate discipline has shown some improvement, but maybe not enough where he'll produce a good batting average for you on a consistent basis. I mean, if you look at last year, very streaky last season. The months of April, May, and September, he batted below 210. I own him in a league, and I actually dropped him at one point last season. Then he went off in July, and I kind of regretted it. You know, I think he batted like 340 something in that month. But got the 45.2 hard hit rate, so that may be a good predictor of continued power. Seems like he's been in the league forever, George. He's just 25 years old. But the thing is, he's just almost like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I mean, 2017 gave you the 30 home runs. But had just a 204 batting average. You're taking a chance with this guy in terms of him crippling you at that batting average category.
It was a strange year for Odor last year. Maybe it was the injury in the first half. Maybe there was something else going on that we don't know about. But he was a tale of pretty much two halves here. So I don't know what to think about him. Mm-hmm. Look at his other stats, too. Because his advanced stats are all plus for the most part. Yeah, his isolated power was down. His BABIP was up 305. That's generally a worrisome category because it goes down. It can fluctuate. But his contact rate was the same as the year before. His walk-to-K ratio was up, which is good. Strikeout rate, down, good. And his walk rate overall was up. That's good. These are all good, but yet he didn't have the year we were expecting. So like I said, sometimes these stats can be, it's lies, damn lies, and statistics. You know, you don't know what to make of them because it just doesn't make sense. Why do you have such a bad year when most of his advanced stats said he should have had a good year? You know, so I don't know if something else is going on here with him involved in his personal life. You never know what's going on with players. They're normal people, man. Things going on here. They can have issues. In a perfect world, I'd rather him as a middle infielder, but I don't know if you're going to be able to get him as one. I mean, Altuve, Baez, Merrifield, Torres, Albies, Gennett, Murphy, D. Gordon, maybe as an outfielder, Travis Shore, Cano, Villar's going to be drafted for stolen bases. You know, Dozier, I don't know if you can get 12 second basemen before him, so I think he is going to go as a low-end second baseman. And I don't mind that, but you're drafting him for the power. The average will scare me somewhat. He's a guy, when I have to pencil in my average, I don't know what to pencil him in for. Which means I'm probably going to go, be a little pessimist and go 245. And really, even that, I think in some ways I'm hoping. Yeah, but I'm also going to pencil up 25 home runs. Yeah, you brought up the interesting thing, though, stolen bases. Why is he even allowed to run? All through his career. Last year, he was 50%. The year before that, he was actually okay. He was 15 of 21. But the year before that, He was thrown out a third of the times. The year before that, he's got thrown out more. The year, 2 years before that, he was thrown out more than he was successful. Those are bad numbers. His career is almost 50-50. Why is he allowed to run? So if I'm the Rangers, I'm not allowing him
to run.
Good
question.
So, it's strange to me. In this day and age, why did they allow him to run?
When we come back, we'll finish up talking about the Rangers, and we'll talk about Elvis Andrus and... He's a guy that used to be a consistent mid-30-plus stolen base guy. Talk about what we can expect from him this season right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of you. Listen to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Good job of Sean Engel bringing us back a little Irish music. And George, I know you're part Irish, and happy St. Patrick's Day to you. And as you slide down the banister of life, may the splinters never point in the wrong direction for you. So that's a little Irish blessing for you. you know, wishing you the best on the St. Patrick's Day. Even though you're
another
a grouchy old wacky.
I've never heard of. Grouchy old wacky. listen, how do you kill an Irishman?
I don't know how.
Throw a six-pack over a cliff.
Oh, boy.
what does that seven-course meal for an Irishman?
We're going there, huh?
Sure, I'm Irish. I can say it.
Seven. Yeah, I was gonna say, what, a six-pack and then an extra beer? I don't know what. Is that where we're going?
Six-pack and a potato. There you go.
See, you could say these things, right?
I can. I'm three-quarters Irish, so there. And listen, I love my potatoes, man. That is so true. Any way you got it, man. You want to French them, mashed, baked, I'm good. Good. Give me a potato. I'm a happy guy, man. Give me a potato. I'm a very happy guy. A little ketchup on the fries. Maybe
can you cook? You know, can you cook?
Sure.
Can you whip up some potatoes for yourself?
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to. I don't think I've ever made mashed potatoes for myself, no. And I'm not making any corned beef and cabbage today either for that, what that's worth. But I can certainly cook other meals. Got two kids. Can't always eat out.
What, just punch it in the microwave 30 seconds and done? They don't?
No. No, they're not really big on them. Even my brother's not a big mashed potato guy. I don't get. You know, I think I find that strange. How can you, being Irish or not, how can you not like mashed potatoes? My God, a little gravy? Now I'm getting hungry. You make me hungry. I blame you.
They're almost as American as apple pie. Little mashed potatoes.
Yeah, you would think, right? It's a popular with every, because you can make it so many different ways. Even my wife likes what are the sweet potatoes? She loves her sweet potatoes, which I really don't love. That's one kind of potato I really
and they're healthy for you too.
No, that's probably why. What's the point of eating a potato if it's healthy for you? And potatoes are vegetable. There you go. It's a vegetable. So I do eat plenty of vegetables. So there. Don't want to hear it from anybody. Doesn't have to be green.
I agree. Hey, we really didn't talk any football at all today, and I want to finish off the Texas Rangers you know, lots of moves. You know, we talked a little bit yesterday when we were filling in on the OBJ trade, Odell going to the Browns. Man, the Browns, man. When you look at the stockpile of talent that they have, man. I mean, Lev Bell going to the Jets, Mark Ingram to the Ravens. What move floored you the most? Other than I'm sure, let's say other than the OBJ move.
Other than the OBJ, that would be the move that definitely floored everybody here. We knew Brown was going to get traded, so I'm not going to put it there. Bell had no other bidders but the Jets. So I don't think that, that floored me at all. Surprised that Tevin Coleman went to the 49ers for a team that has plenty of running backs. But then again, Shanahan's there. Shanahan loves him. But, it's now Coleman, McKinnon, Mostert signed a three-year contract to go back there, and Breida. You know, and McKinnon is owed no more guaranteed money. So I wonder if he gets cut. You know, I do wonder that. You know, I know Shanahan came out yesterday and said that, I can definitely see us fitting four running backs on the roster. Well, that's once again, I think they'll try and trade him first and bring up that trade value. So, that, like I said, that intrigues me. Trying to look through the other. I mean, listen.
How about Mark Ingram to the Ravens?
No.
Golden Tate goes to the Giants.
A little bit.
It kind of doesn't make sense.
Right, that's the problem. I have no problem with Golden Tate. You already had Sterling Shepard. You're obviously rebuilding, and yet you sign a 31-year-old wide receiver. I don't understand that. I just don't understand that. But like I said, Shepard's also your slot receiver there. You're going to try and groom him for the outside, or are you saying, hey, Sterling, we're not signing you next year. All right, so don't let the door hit you on the way out. Is that what's going on here? It certainly wasn't Nick Foles going to Jacksonville. We all knew that was going to happen. Joe Flacco being dealt now, that's not a surprise either. We know he would be traded there. Tannehill got traded yesterday to Miami. Tannehill got traded to Tennessee, proving you could never have enough mediocre quarterbacks there. No, I don't think there's any, outside of the OBJ, I don't know if there's any stunner here where I'm like, wow, couldn't believe that happened.
The OBJ was a... They've been... There have been whispers of it, right? Jay Glazer tweeted out about it a couple weeks ago. And, you know, yeah, some people say, you know, the Giants didn't get enough back for OBJ. But, look, if there have been whispers that you and I, just regular guys, you know, had heard of, the Giants trading partners had to know that there was some kind of a falling out and there was an opportunity for them to trade for OBJ. In my opinion, my two cents, look, you know, John Mara, Giants owner, very, very patient over the years with Odell Beckham Jr. I think OBJ convinced the Giants that he was happy there, that he wanted to be a part of the Giants for the long term. That's why they gave him that contract. I think that interview that he did on ESPN, where he was asked just a couple months after signing a big contract whether he was happy about playing in New York, and him not immediately saying, yeah, I'd love to play in New York, I think that hurt him. You know, Gettleman getting a lot of grief, and he should, but look, he wouldn't have been able to make a trade, trading a superstar like OBJ away without, you know, the Giants ownership being 100% behind him. You don't just get rid of OBJ on a whim, you know. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, issues. You know, I even tweeted out a little collage of all the different things that OBJ had done during his time here with the Giants. You know, the lifting of the leg in the end zone after scoring a touchdown. The fight with the net. I mean, he's a passionate guy. Missed a lot of games. Does Eli deserve to still be here and receive the money that he's getting? Definitely doesn't deserve the money. But in terms of OBJ being traded away, not 100% of a shock. But look, you know, I think there was just like he crossed the final line, in my opinion. And John Mara, Giant owner, was patient with him for a long time.
He was. I mean, I think I told you yesterday, I am not one who thinks the trade was terrible. You got back a 1-3 and Jabril Peppers. You know, and if Peppers does develop into the player he was supposed to be, in time, the Giants may have won the deal, depending on what they do with their 1-3 here. But the problem is Peppers has been, you know, not the player that we thought he was going to be, and you don't know what they're going to be able to do at 1-3, and we know what Beckham is. But that being said, I don't think the trade was the ripoff that people portrayed it to be, like the Giants got ripped off. I don't. I think it was more the fact that you traded OBJ after signing him to the big contract, after Gettleman said he wasn't going to deal him, I didn't sign him to trade him, that sort of thing, and you dealt him anyway. I think that's what happened.
Well, what's he going to say, though? He's going to say, yeah, he's on the block.
You know what I like to say. When can you tell a coach is lying or a general manager when their lips move? That's all they're doing is lying. And by the way, everybody before the draft now is lying. That's all they're doing now is lying. You know, I mentioned Shanahan saying, I can see us playing with four running backs. Lie. He just doesn't want to admit that he might have to release McKinnon, because once again, if he tries to trade him first, well, he's hoping teams won't realize it. And I always find this hilarious because everybody knows they're lying. Does really Shanahan think he's fooling anybody? Everybody knows he might have to release him, so he's not going to get a top draft pick in return. You're looking at a 6th, 7th rounder, you know, one of those swaps that they do. Yeah, I'll give you a 6th, you give me your 7th. That sort of thing. We just move up around. You know, that happens all the time here. I think what took some people offhand is, you know, at the beginning here, I was liking what the Giants were doing. You had the offensive line that we traded Vernon, saved some salary cap room, added the offensive lineman. You know, that was going to help the team. Yes, I think they should have moved on from Eli. I think they should have done that last year. I'm well on board with saying over and over again, I would not have drafted Barkley if I was the Giants. This has nothing to do with Barkley. Always said I think he's going to be a superstar in the league, but you can't win in the NFL without a quarterback, and I wasn't passing up on Sam Darnold. I wasn't going to pass that up. You have to draft one and go from there. And they didn't. And now they proved it last year. Barkley had a 2,000-yard season.
Now they're not even interested in Haskins, supposedly. Yeah, and now
once again,
out that supposedly
this goes to the lie thing. They have to say that. They have to say they're not interested in Haskins, because if they say they're interested, well, there's someone else interested. They know they got to trade ahead of the Giants. So once again, this all goes to the lie thing. I don't know if I believe that at all. You know, so that part makes sense here. But that being said, when you trade OBJ and you're going to keep Eli, aren't you saying you're not drafting a quarterback this year? You know, 'cause I think part of the reason why OBJ also got traded is because you didn't want him around a young quarterback. But then you're going to keep Eli anyway and pay him the $5 million bonus, which I think was due, I think it's due today. You know, so you're going to pay him that bonus, so Eli stays. I think Eli would be a good mentor for a young quarterback. I do.
That's what I was going to say. You know, when Eli came into the NFL, I mean, you know, he Kurt Warner was the Giants' starting quarterback for the first several games. They actually had a winning record, and then they brought Eli in. I mean, do you feel that a rookie quarterback should be, you know, starting from day one, or do you think that, you know, he would benefit from learning at the feet of somebody like an Eli?
I think in a perfect world, you want them to wait. You do. I understand quarterbacks generally come into the NFL more ready to play than in past years. You know, where and you only got up for five. Remember, you only got up for 5 years, assuming you drafted them in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick up that fifth year option. You got up for 5 years. So I think what they're seeing now, most coaches believe, got to get him in there right away. And I also believe, I think, let's say the Giants draft Haskins. I have no problem then you keep Eli, let Eli start the first whatever amount of games until you believe Haskins is ready. But you want Haskins to play this year to get rid of the rookie womps where he's going to, you know, throw bad picks or that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Get that. You want to get rid of that this year. This way he can take off next year.
Mm-hmm.
And Eli's going to have to sit and deal with that. You know, that sort of thing there. So
look at what the Bills
plan,
did. Look at what the Ravens did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. But I just wonder, though, if the Giants are looking to tank because next year is a much stronger draft class for quarterbacks. You know, you look at your A-Bear.
That's
you
a good point.
I wonder that. It's dangerous because the Giants aren't the only bad team in the NFL. And the Giants right now, I don't think they're a 2-14 team. I don't. I think they'll win some games here. You know, it's not like the NFC East is loaded with great teams here. Dallas is a good team. Philadelphia is a good team. But they're not great teams. They have holes here. You know, Washington has the issues of their own. You can make an argument the Giants are a better team than Washington right now. You know, so I don't even know if they'll finish last in the division. More or less other teams that that could have problems. So tanking is dangerous, to say the least. It was just assume you're going to lose enough games to get one of those top picks there. But the Giants, like I said, they've just done some strange things. I like what they were doing, building the offensive line for Saquon Barkley, you know, in the passing game for Eli. But then you trade Beckham, and then you sign Tate, who's the same as Shepard. I mean, even if you're not going to sign Shepard next year, and I have no problem with that. He's not the man. You want to let him go. But why Tate? He's 31. You know, when you get good again, he'll be 33. You know, and he wasn't all that great in Philadelphia last year. He had problems there. You know, obviously an offseason and a new offense should help him rather than coming in midseason here. So it's just been backwards to me what the Giants have done. I'm sure Gettleman has a plan. He'll certainly tell you it. But whatever it is, I ain't seeing it right now.
Yeah. To me, it's a little dangerous, and I hear what you're saying, and I haven't really done much research into next year's quarterback class, but supposedly next year's quarterback class is stronger than this one. But, you know, to me, it takes a little while to develop an NFL quarterback. I mean, not everybody's Patrick Mahomes, where, you know, he was able to sit the first year, and then all of a sudden he becomes the best quarterback in football in his second year after having just played one game. And also, you have to consider Saquon Barkley, a generational talent, but running backs have a short shelf life, 5 to 7 years, and they're not all Frank Gore where they're able to play till the 90, you know. So you have to keep that in mind, that the sand is running down the hourglass in Saquon Barkley's. I know it's only his second year, but still, it's going to take a little bit of time to develop a quarterback for the Giants. You know, you could draft one, and then who's to say that the guy you draft is going to be the guy? You know, Geno Smith. The Jets thought he was their guy. It happens. You make bad picks. Not everything could. You do all the research you want.
You bring up great points. I mean, running back shelf life is short. You know, and you're 100% correct. This is why, once again, I drafted Darnold last year, because you can't pass that up. They draft Haskins this year. You're right. What if he's not the guy? It doesn't work out. Well, now you got to draft another quarterback. And you won't draft a quarterback next year, because you'll give Haskins a second year no matter what. So you won't really know it until 2021 now. I mean, it just adds up. I just don't think you can pass up a quarterback. Heard a great line about Frank Gore the other day. I don't remember from where, so I'm sorry I can't give credit to whoever said it. It wasn't me. But that when Bryce Harper's contract runs out, Frank Gore will still be playing. Something to that effect. I thought that was thought it was funny as hell, because Harper's contract goes off forever, and Gore is just going to play forever. This guy's never never hanging up. And the thing that I know everybody saw, by the way, so I'm certainly not preaching it, but Bobby Bonilla will still be getting paid 4 years after Harper's contract runs out.
Yeah.
And I think that's funny as hell, too, that the Mets are still paying that lovely contract. Bobby Bonilla Day. I think it's July 1st every year is Bobby Bonilla Day.
Yeah, yeah. Let's finish up. We only have a couple minutes left. Elvis Andrus, in or out, had been a 30-plus stolen base guy. You know, that 20 home runs in 2017, likely an outlier. In or out on Elvis Andrus, and what are you thinking about the over-under for the Rangers in terms of the 71.5?
All right, I'm going to take the over on the 71.5. I'll get that out of the way first. I think they'll, not much more, but I think they'll win 74. 70. I can't pick everybody in that division to win under. All right, I mean, they can't all finish under. Someone's got to be a decent team there. All right, Houston's not going to win 120 games. So I'll give the Rangers the over here. As for Elvis Andrus, I don't want him as a shortstop. I'll take him as a middle infielder. I think he'll have a better year than he had last year. I think the injuries affected him last year, certainly slowed him down a little bit. So I'll take the over there. He's another guy, though, not great numbers when it comes to a stolen base percentage. You know, he's about two-thirds, three-quarters, which is right on the borderline of being worth it here. But I think he'll go back to stealing. I'll give him 22 bases this year. So I am interested as a middle infielder. I need those bags.
Yeah, I agree with you. Upper teens to lower 20 stolen bases for Andrus. And I want to thank Sean Engel for doing a great job producing our show. I want to thank George Kurtz for hanging out. Happy St. Patrick's Day weekend to all of you. Have fun and be safe. Thanks for listening to Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.